Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. I'm Carol Knier, Wayne Memorial Community Health Manager. Thank you for joining me today. So on today's show, my returning guest is Michelle Miner-Wolf. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Carol.
And Michelle is the Executive Director of VIP, correct?
Correct.
And how long have you been the Executive Director?
It's going to be 25 years this July. That's a quarter of a century. Please don't do the math.
Well, happy anniversary and congratulations and thank you. Thank you for all the work that you do in Wayne County, also Pike. You do an amazing job. Really, thank you so much.
You are welcome, and I couldn't do it without my team. We work together as a team, so I really can't take the credit.
Yes, and you do have a wonderful team, too. We work very closely with them with the school program, and you are always there to help, you know, me with my programming when I'm like, I know the person, perfect team to come out and talk, and you and your team at VIP are always there for us, too. So thanks.
We're grateful for the opportunity, so thank you.
So, you know, I invited you here today because April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So can you – oh, wait a second. We are going to talk about something because you mentioned this before I forget. You were down in Harrisburg yesterday, right?
Oh, yes, I was.
So can you tell our audience a little bit of the excitement that you had down there?
Absolutely. So our agency, as well as all victim service providers across the Commonwealth, are – affiliates and members of PCAR, which is the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Rape. And we joined them, we as well as my sister director in Luzerne County and in Lackawanna County, to present Senator Baker with an award as a champion on working on sexual assault issues for the betterment of survivors. So we were so glad to be able to be there in person for once and present Senator Baker with this award. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful moment.
And it was a beautiful day out.
It was.
To even celebrate that and to present that to her, because she does so much for our community also. And to have the support of individuals like Senator Baker is mm-hmm. so important for the work that you do. And know that it is definitely valued.
Yeah, she's amazing because she listens. Like, she listens to survivors. And she listens to the advocates who speak on behalf of the survivors. And then she takes action when it's appropriate. And to get, you know, one of the things survivors deal with the most is feeling that they're not heard.
Right.
But they are heard by her. And that's what I said to her yesterday. And we're just so grateful. And you're right. She's in so many different aspects of our community. It's just wonderful.
Right. So coming back to our topic and Sexual Assault Awareness Month, can you tell me a little bit about what is sexual assault?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you asked it that way. And just hearing you say Sexual Assault Awareness Month makes me realize, you know, we're starting to change our language. So I wonder if we'll end up changing that name one day, only because we now try to say sexual assault, abuse, and harassment, because there's so many different forms of things that happen. And when you say sexual assault in the community, people automatically think rape most of the time, and there's so many other aspects to it. And sexual harassment is one of the big ones that folks don't often hear about. We don't talk about it as much, but yet it causes great anxiety and angst for the people that are suffering with it. So we do talk about that in the community a lot if anybody's interested in more information. But with sexual assault, abuse, and harassment, it can happen to anyone, any gender, any age, any socioeconomic status, pretty much anybody. It just does not discriminate.
Right. And I think that's so important for people to hear. You know, sometimes they think it just happens to females, but can also happen to males. And you said any ages.
Yep.
Yes. So the services that you provide, you know, are free and confidential, correct?
Yes.
And I always like to bring that up because, you know, many people are out there and like, I can't afford that. You know, I don't know who to go to. But everything that you discuss and, you know, if someone comes to you for help, they're there.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, before I forget, I always want to remember, what phone number would they call if they, you know, need help?
The easiest one to use probably is 570-253-4401. That is our 24-hour hotline. We do have a different number for the Pike office, which is 570-296-HELP. But whichever one you call, you're going to get us. And we, you know, in the evenings after hours, all of the lines are transferred to the 4401 number. So that's why I usually say it's just the easiest one to call.
Right. And you're basically there to help all the time.
All the time. 24 hours, 7 days a week. Holidays right. included.
Yes. Which is important. You know, you don't take any days off.
Right.
Really, because, you know, you never know when someone's going to need that help.
Correct.
Right. So if someone comes to you and wants to talk about a situation, like sexual harassment, what would you do? How would you help?
Okay. Well, the way the process, how it usually works is they will call and we'll talk to them and see if they're interested in a session. So that can be virtual or in person because we're open, fully back open again. And we do acknowledge that making that phone call is usually the hardest step. And then the second hardest step is actually coming in for the appointment. And when they do come in, then we do an intake with them. It's just to get some basic demographics that we have to have for funding purposes. But anything that they don't want to share, they don't have to share. And then they start their counseling process from there. And you're right that we do not charge. And we don't even bill insurances. We're funded by grants and donations that allow us to provide this to the community at no cost to the survivors or their family members. And we have a variety of services. Counseling is one of our biggest ones, but we do also provide therapy now for victims of sexual assault and domestic violence. So we do have a licensed therapist on staff, and we also contract with a licensed therapist that's outside of the office.
Right, right. And I think that's so wonderful to know. You know, when you were just explaining about how you help, what really kind of also stuck is that you don't bill insurances.
Correct.
Because, you know, what came to my mind is if someone was in a relationship and they were with someone and shared an insurance policy, you know, sometimes when you bill, they can see what's happening. But in this case, they couldn't because you don't charge them.
Correct.
And I think that's important. Again, this just all comes back to confidentiality, safety, and protecting that individual who's seeking your help.
Correct. So right. We want to do our best to protect survivors on all different levels. And while it might be hard to believe, there are places, and insurance companies can be one of them, that discriminate against survivors.
Oh, really?
Particularly of domestic violence because of the danger that is sometimes involved. So why even put that out there?
Right, right, exactly. And again, it's in regards to protecting that individual.
Right.
Sometimes a touchy subject that I often hear about, you know, we hear it on the news, we hear it on TV shows, you know, when it comes to sexual violence or even rape or things like that, is the word consent.
Yes.
You know, and again, it's sometimes a touchy subject, but, you know, can you explain that word and what we mean by that? And are there any changes recommending or coming around that may change that thought?
Yes, absolutely. So make sure you keep me posted on our time here because I could go on all day about consent. consent, you know, the language that people are used to is no means no. So a no does mean no, but that is not enough. The absence of a no does not mean yes. So we've changed our language a little bit to say yes means yes. Unless you actually ask the person that you want to be intimate with, and unless you actually get an answer from them that's yes, then you cannot assume that you have consent.
Right.
And that's where people get themselves into trouble. And I'm talking about healthy relationships. You know,
right.
There's obviously relationships that don't involve consent where the person doesn't care to even try to get it.
Right.
But to really be respectful of your partner, you need to be asking them if they're ready to do whatever it is that the two of you might be thinking, and to get that actual confirmation of yes. That's really the only true consent that there is. And the reason we are changing that language is because too often across the Commonwealth and across the world, when there is, let's say, a rape case that makes its way to court, which we know that's challenge enough, but if you actually make it to court, then sometimes the defense will say things like, well, the victim didn't say no. That does not mean that the perpetrator had consent.
Right.
So it's really about cleaning up the language in ways to be very, very clear.
Right.
On both sides. Because, you know, we've spent so many years teaching people how not to become a victim and how to protect themselves. And we're really reframing that now to be talking to people about, well, you shouldn't be doing this, and look at that other side, and this is why, and this is what it is, and giving them all the right skills, because we have to stop focusing on how not to become a victim and how to protect ourselves mm-hmm. and more into stopping the abuse from happening in the first place.
Right. And, you know, again, that's going to lead into my next question, stopping the abuse from happening from the beginning. So education is really the key here also, you know, and even starting at a young age with your children or if you're a guardian or a parent is just to have conversations about healthy relationships.
Yes.
Right? Respect. Having open communication, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And do you work with, you know, families or are you willing to go out there if a group, say PTA or a small family group or, you know, that want information on how to talk to their children? Do you do stuff like that or can they reach out to you?
Absolutely, yes. We would love to be able to do that. You know, we find that sometimes parents will tell us that their children will listen to somebody else more than they'll listen to them because it can be an awkward topic. But if the if the parents want the information, we would love to be able to provide this with them for them so that they could talk to their children.
Right, because, you know, with the internet, with our computers, with our phones, there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
And sometimes the information that is out there is not always correct.
Right.
You know, and you know, why not reach out to VIP and to you and your team because you are very qualified and trained and you continue training with your staff, correct?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I know you also work with healthcare with Wayne Memorial Hospital,
yes.
correct?
Yes, so, we do.
You know, you come in and talk to our nurses and our team. Can you share a little bit about that?
Oh yes, we love talking to the nurses. We train them on things like human trafficking, reproductive coercion, universal screening. But the best part is when the official training is over and they're talking as regular people, not necessarily nurses, letting us know of what they didn't know before and what they're going to be sharing with their friends and what they're going to be sharing with people that have children. So they take a lot of information from us and then spread it back in the community, which is lovely.
Right.
So we get the part. You know, we work with them on how to best work with victims and survivors in the healthcare system, but even better, or not better, but in addition to, they then share that information with other people in the community.
Right, which is great. And I know oftentimes you have events going on.
Yes, yes.
Do you have any upcoming events?
We do, since this is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. On April 28th at the Anatomy Craft Coffee Bar on 630 Main Street, we're having the What Was She Wearing Project.
Okay.
And that is really the official name is What Was She Wearing, but we know that it's he, she, they. Right. And we will have outfits displayed with the story of the sexual assault, abuse, or harassment that occurred for the individual. No identifying information. They might not even necessarily be from this particular close area, but to give people the idea and to help reinforce that it doesn't matter what somebody's wearing. That does not give permission to a perpetrator to commit rape, sexual assault, abuse, whatever. Too often you'll hear, well, what was she wearing? You'll hear it in court with the defense. It doesn't matter. We actually had displayed the one time we did this before, the habit, a nun habit, because nuns have been sexually assaulted. Well, there's no better way to show that it doesn't matter what you're wearing than that.
Right.
So we do have that. There's no cost for it. And it's open the whole time. There's not an official start date. We are starting it at 6, but come in anytime, look around. We will have a few people speaking. Some survivors will get up and speak as they often do at our Take Back the Night. And this is actually in place of the Take Back the Night.
When you started saying that, I'm like, wait a second, April 28th, you used to do another event.
Right.
Yes.
This is in place of that. So we'll have the survivor speaker part because that's very, very important.
Right.
But in terms of other speakers, we're not going to do that this time. This is more of a come and go as you need to. And there's a lot of social distancing allowed at this venue that, you know, for people that are still just getting back out there. So we're trying something different for this year. And then we also have a fundraiser, the Sock Hop on April 30th at the Regal Room. It's called the Mom Prom. Another group puts it on, but we are the beneficiaries of it this year. It's going to be fun. We are all going dressing in our 50s outfits that we've gotten, and we'd really love people to join us.
Okay. For more information on those events, can they visit your website? I know you have an awesome website. And what's the address of that website?
VIPempowers.org.
And the phone number, just in case?
570-253-4401. And it's also on our Facebook page.
Oh, right. And your Facebook page is VIP Empowers. I mean, if you Google VIP, right, it'll usually come up.
Yes.
That's the way I find my Facebook pages. And, of course, like it. because that's really important. Because yeah. then they get updates, correct?
Correct.
And they can find out all that information and all the contact information that we talked about on today's show is yes. there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Michelle, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Carol. It's a joy to be here.
So again, this is Carol Kinnear, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. I want to thank you for listening today. If you have any questions on today's show, you can give me a call at 570-253-8422. Thank you for listening and have a great day.